Social Geeks is a Spike Studio production. It's the Social Geeks, episode number 24 for Wednesday, January 6, 2010, an exclusive. We got Caleb on talking about Kick Post, and the rest of it is the guys hanging out. It is the Social Geeks back in 2010 with an all-guy crew starting out the new year. It seems we can't get the rest of them all to pick a day, and Sarah keeps, you know, taking breaks because of new babies and stuff. So, hey guys, how's it going? And we got to welcome back Caleb. He's been out for a few episodes with his relocation cross country.
Hello, hello. It's about time. I know. It's good to be back starting the new year fresh, and hope to keep it nice and consistent going forward.
No, we're going to be consistent. We're going to record whether anybody gets on or not. I don't care if it's static. We're recording.
Nice. I think the listeners will love that.
20 minutes static.
A big 20-minute relaxation of silence.
We can just tell them we're all on AT&T phones.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard Jeff laughing there. Jeff, over there in Snowland.
Yes, it is just snowing and cold.
And you're at, what, 10 inches now? 8 plus a couple more?
Something like that, plus like 30 below degree temperatures.
And Wayne is down there slobbering over brand new announcements for CES.
Well, it's Microsoft. They do the best they can.
they gave him a phone. They said, here's a phone. So let's just jump in. What did you just see? So everyone knows we are recording. What is this? Is it the first part of the first day for CES, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the opening day.
Opening day. Bomber was a keynote?
Yes, he's closing it out this evening if I'm thinking.
All right, so what did he just announce? We kind of know what he was supposed to announce, but what did he announce?
So far, just talking about the HP Microsoft phone. But no, talking about the Microsoft phone that's going to be on T-Mobile, new version of that, and it's slicker, thinner, and they're going to be announcing new phones throughout the year. We're waiting for the official new tablet come out from Microsoft and partner with HP. I didn't see that come across yet. And just talking about how well Windows 7 is done, and XP is doing, and how they work with different car manufacturers with their platform.
Well, now, so anything special about this phone that he's talking about besides the fact that it's new? I mean, what about it?
It's running the upgraded Windows Mobile operating system, and I'm an iPhone user, and I won't go anywhere near it.
is it Windows 7 yet, or is it still Windows Mobile 6.5?
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it's Windows.
Windows Mobile 7 apparently is, according to some of the news stories on, is what it's supposed to be, but I don't know.
That'd be nice.
Here it is. Windows needs to and must preview Windows Mobile 7 at the keynotes. That doesn't mean he did. He's just going on right now, so everyone knows, but they're saying he should do it. So, well, there's
a lot of things Microsoft should do.
Yeah, there's nothing really magical going on online right now about the new announcement he did, unless you someone watching it streaming, like on Crunchgear, aren't they doing a live stream, or somebody is right now?
Microsoft has the official live stream from their press page, so if you go to CES on Microsoft, you can watch it there.
Do you think, let me ask, so everyone, we'll go around, because do you think this is the time that everyone has to announce a phone, right? We've got, which we'll talk about, the Nexus. You've got the Microsoft's phone coming out. All these phones are coming out at one time. Is it to draw people in, or is it for the functionality? Any one of you first.
I think it's to draw people in. Everybody now is trying to, of course, compete with the iPhone and now Google with the operating system. And so it's like, if you don't have something out new or buzzing for the community to talk about coming out, then people are not going to buy phones from you. We got to think about, we're still locked in most of the time, 2-year contract agreements. So people are holding out, waiting for the next best thing. So if you're not letting people know that you have something coming out, or, about to release something, then people will just go out and buy the next, will buy what was hot at the moment. And for Microsoft, is them, to me, is trying to hold on to their Windows Mobile community, work with different hardware manufacturers, and go from there. And I think they're announcing a new tablet now.
So Wayne's watching the stream live, so he keeps like disappearing and putting things on mute so he can see it right there. So they've done a huge announcements for everybody about all this phone stuff, but everyone's still getting just crushed by, and it'll be coming, the applications that are out there. Does Microsoft even have a really good app base for their mobile, Windows Mobile?
So Apple, Microsoft says they do, right? They say they have thousands of apps, but what they don't tell you is that the majority of those are legacy apps from the old Windows Mobile that you have to use the stylus. And so there are lots of very, very cruddy looking apps that are not intended for touch interfaces. So they have a lot of apps, and they have a lot of, you know, enterprise developers who have built things for them. But the types of apps people want today, Microsoft certainly doesn't have those apps because they also just don't have the development platform yet. They just shoehorned in, multi-touch type functionality into Windows 6.5. And so I think they're going to be rushing to try and get Windows 7 out the door, Windows 7 Mobile out the door. And hopefully they can, they've had lots of time. They've had 2 years now to pay attention to what Apple's done and what Palm has done and now what Android has done. So hopefully they take some cues from that and have some of the people who are working on the Windows 7 team who actually got that pretty good on the phone. But I mean, I think the question is, do you expect that in 5 years Windows Mobile is going to be a bigger share or smaller share than it is today? And my bet is that it's going to be a smaller share than it is even today. And I think that's what you really need to think about. Not what's going to happen next month or 3 months, but where they want to be in a couple of years.
Look at something else Microsoft doesn't do and can't do now is they have no way to do the constant dynamic updating that Apple does across theirs. It just doesn't exist. When you do a Windows Mobile upgrade, I mean, you're really doing a full upgrade where on the iPhone, sure, you're doing it, but it's through iTunes, it's managed, you're downloading, it's seeing what versioning you have. And I think there's a big disparity gap there because you don't have really a local management system like they do in iTunes for the Microsoft phone.
And they also don't control the hardware, right? They have to make these partnerships, and they announced Windows 6.5 months ago, and there's still only a couple of devices that are actually shipping with it. And so I think what Microsoft really should do and take advantage of is the fact that Apple has told AMTT, we're going to control all the software on the device, and you're going to like it. And Google is now doing that now with T-Mobile, and soon Vodafone and Verizon. And Microsoft should really just get the balls and say, hey, we are going to push the latest version of Windows 7 Mobile to all of the devices that are out there, and we're going to keep upgrading it. And you device manufacturers better do it, otherwise you're going to get your lunch eaten by Apple. And I think they're in a position of strength now because the device carriers, not Apple, want to do more high-quality hardware. And so I think it's good overall.
Jeff, you got to move your microphone. I can hear you breathing from here. Didn't you do an iPhone?
Jeff, an iPhone?
I know you still had the Sprint, but didn't you get something different last time? Weren't you playing with something when we recorded last?
I have the Palm. I have the Palm Pre.
The Pre. The same thing, yes. Right? You got the same issue with the apps. I'm reading online, and everyone's talking about, I'm using, of course, the new, you're looking at the live Google stream coming across, and no one seems overly excited by Ballmer's announcement. It's like everyone's like, okay, great, here's a phone. Like you said, it's not their platform. It's got to run on someone else's hardware, which HTC's a good one that everyone loves right now. But no one seems overly excited about the announcement itself. Nothing groundbreaking, I should say. Wayne, did he say anything else? Or has Wayne got us on mute still?
I'm still here.
Did he say anything else about the phone itself, or was that pretty much it?
He just showed it. I think they already made some other announcements about the phone. The Windows Mobile phones, Windows branded mobile phones have been out for a while. I don't know the exact time frame, but they've been out for a while. So it wasn't anything groundbreaking. That the biggest news from what I have read about what we're anticipating coming from Steve Ballmer is this tablet that's supposed to be like the competitor to the hopefully announced Apple tablet come out. But I agree with the rest of the
Caleb.
The guys. Caleb. Sorry. I apologize, man. I'm like halfway here. But I agree with Caleb. I mean, Microsoft needs to, to grow some balls and say, hey, this is what we need to do to be competitive in the mobile industry. If not, they're going to be in the sinking ship and playing catch up behind Apple and Google.
Now, let's ask this. Is it only for T-Mobile?
That particular one, he said, was T-Mobile. But I've seen Microsoft mobile devices on AT&T and other networks. So that particular model. But it's the thing what I was thinking about earlier is the where Apple has this one phone that they make, that they manufacture, or either they outsource the parts. However, we know it's an Apple phone, one operating system, app store, like Caleb said, they manage. And I don't worry about going into, you know, different carriers and reading about or, you know, picking a different hardware. It's once a year from Apple. You know, and I'm kind of wondering, is Google making the same mistake? Is that, you know, there's a big deal, Google branded HTC phone. But how many Android-powered phones do we have now in the market? A lot. Think about it. Right. And so, but Google is controlling a lot in the back end, the operating system, the app store, and so forth. So they do some things right, but I think just think Apple's doing the best.
Well, let's jump over to the Nexus One. Let's move right into it. They launched the Nexus One. Everyone says great. It's got, you know, the Android 2.1. They've put in a little thought into the design, the sleekness, but it has a way to go. It's not as polished yet as some of the other devices like the Palm Pre, but a really good opinion, I thought, came out, and I'm trying to remember who actually made it. I'll find his name here in a few minutes. Engadget is actually who said it, that they think this phone is not an iPhone killer, the Nexus One. They don't think it's the new HTC Windows killer. They don't think it's the iPhone killer. They think it's a Droid killer, meaning it's running 2.1. It's a little cleaner with a little more capabilities behind it. So they think it's actually stomping all over the Droid sales because people would really want to get this. Plus, you can buy it unlocked and run it across multiple carriers for, what is it, just under $600?
Yeah, so the Nexus One is a really interesting thing. I think what's very good about it is that Google, you know, initially with the G1 about a year ago now, worked with HTC to create that phone and sort of shocked everyone in saying we're releasing this operating system and it's going to be open and any carrier can sign on. And I think a lot of people sort of scoffed at that actually happening and that this carriers would never open up and Apple was the only one who could ever get someone to do something. And what we've seen over the past year is the mobile phone device makers actually decide, hey, we are not good at building software and we need to compete. And so we'll take your operating system for free, Google. Thank you very much. And we'll release a lot of phones. I mean, there's over 12 or 13 of the devices now in the market where even just 6 months ago, there were only two or three. And you can bet that CES is going to be chock full of new devices announcements running Android. And so for Google to put out a device that they think is the best as sort of a what Microsoft used to do by putting out sort of a benchmark device, I think that's really good. My biggest problem is, I mean, I played with the HTC Hero for a while, and then we got a Droid and played with that and have used that for a couple weeks. And the phones are pretty fast, but I think the biggest problem is the fit and finish of the operating system still isn't there. Moving through menus is quite jerky still. The home screen, getting apps installed is still a little weird. The market is not super clear. And I think one of the biggest things for regular consumers will be it is hard to get your music and other media in and off the phone, just like every other cell phone you've ever owned. Right. It's really hard because there's no desktop software. And I think people really like the idea of just plugging in iTunes and everything syncing up. So I think it would be really wise for Google to figure out some way to do that. You know, they've got things like Picasa that has desktop software. They've got Chrome. And I think it would be quite wise for them to think of a way to have the multimedia work. But Nexus One, definitely not gonna kill the iPhone. I think we will not be talking about the Nexus One in 2 or 3 months.
Jeff, what do you use for the Palm Pre to manage local media in terms of getting it to the device itself? You know, music, pictures, stuff like that. Windows file transfer.
No, actually, there's a media like thing that will take and convert my songs from iTunes to play on the Palm Pre. So that's kind of what I use. It basically just syncs it up with iTunes.
It's not converting it to another format. It's leaving it as MP3.
Right, right. Well, anything I buy on the iTunes store, it'll convert it to where I can listen to it on my Palm Pre.
Okay, so through the encryption. Is what it is, the DRM.
Yeah, and then pictures and stuff like that. If there's any pictures I want to put on there, I just, you know, hook it, you know, sync it up with the computer and just, yeah, drag and drop basically. But you can also do with the media thing I use for iTunes, you can also sync it up to where it'll, you know, if you have any pictures in iTunes, it'll do that as well. So it kind of works kind of like an iPhone.
Gotcha. No,
and I, that's,
And that's what a lot of the reviews are saying is, you know, you guys are all getting the same opinion. It's here. Great. They made the announcement. It has some good stuff. People coming in that are brand new. Yeah, they may buy it. You could take a SIM out of an iPhone and pop it in if you have an unlocked one of the Nexus. I mean, just to test it out if you happen to get your hands on one for a little bit. But, I mean, they gave them away at the press conference, right? Well, you had a choice between 30-day or given away. But, you know, everyone in the press got one, and everyone said, okay, I read the reviews that people put out, and they weren't excited.
Yeah. There's two other things. I think one is google.com/phone is an interesting choice, right? They didn't do google.com/Nexus One. They did /phone. And they discussed at length in the press conference that this Google is now going to be selling devices. They're going to sell, there'll be more Google branded devices that they have a hand in creating. And instead of walking into a carrier's store and saying, what phone do you have? They want to flip it on its head and say, which phone do you want? And then what carrier do you want? And I think that is sort of the more important piece here, because having U.S. consumers start understanding that the carrier have less control than they have today will ultimately be good. Because right now there isn't that much competition with carriers because there's so much blocking. But if you can actually pay for the device yourself and get people used to doing that, and as the device's prices decline, as the hardware gets cheaper, that'll be really interesting, because then 3G and 4G speeds have to increase, because Sprint, T-Mobile, AT&T, and Verizon will all be competing every single time you buy a new phone, and that will ultimately be good for people.
Well, there's something else they didn't do that a lot of people were hoping, is they didn't come out. I mean, you've got the desktop itself has, you know, Gmail and all that, it has Google Voice. They didn't come out with any way to use the data plan to do VoIP type stuff. They said, here's basically a GSM phone. You're going to use minutes, and that's our first run at it. So a lot of people, I think, were expecting this huge revelation of using data to do it instead of using your actual, you know, cell phone minutes and then using Google Voice and all these other pieces that didn't show up with it. So I think that was a big disappointment for a lot of people too.
Yeah, I think so.
I heard various feedback on that, and I'm not sure. I don't know what's actually correct and not, because I haven't had a chance to test it out. I know on the iPhone with the app that was kicked out of the App Store, GV Mobile,
right?
That, you know, I can put my iPhone in airplane mode and connect to Wi-Fi, and it would not work for voice over IP. But if I put my iPhone in airplane mode, connect to a MiFi card or Wi-Fi wireless network, I can make voice over IP calls with the Skype app. And I do believe there is a Skype app for the Android operating system. So you can do voice over IP, but just do it through Skype. But, of course, what we want is through a Google application, Google Voice. I've seen where I know people have tried it, and I think I read it at least once or twice where it did work, but I think your account had to be activated for it to work somewhere in the back end. But I feel like we all know that's where it's going, is that Google Voice is going to be a Skype competitor. It's going to be able to allow do voice over IP calls, and that we would just have a data account, won't have a cell phone minutes account, and we do all our texting and all our phone calls over Google Voice. I think that's where we're going to end up going, and it's just a matter of, I think, just legal FTC and other, you know, carrier partnerships that, you know, everybody's signing contracts with, doing back-end deals to get things approved and passed down the pipeline.
Well, and I found a good review overall, summary review that took all the pieces from the Telegraph. The summary said, you know what, running Google apps, it's great. Running non-Google apps from the App Store is still a little disjointed. The interface is nice. It's just not all the way there, and it's kind of what you'd expect from the iPhone when it was 1.0. So they're saying, you know, soon it may pick up pace, but right now it's not ready to go.
Well, you know,
go ahead, Jeff.
You know, I was going to say, since we're talking about Windows OS or mobile OS and iPhones and Android, I also saw where supposedly tomorrow when Palm does their keynote at CES, they're supposed to announce two WebOS phones going to AT&T and then also on Verizon. So I think WebOS is going to start, you know, showing up more out there and with all the different carriers too. All right. Being a Palm Pre user, you know, I kind of a little biased on that one. So
no. You're exactly right. You're exactly correct. Take a break, everybody, really quick. I need to tell them about our sponsor for this episode. That's GoDaddy. GoDaddy has been a sponsor with us now for quite a few episodes. They're offering you a few different discounts depending on the coupon code. If you want 10% off your order, you can use the code SOCIALG1. If you want to save $5 on any order of $30 or more, it's SOCIALG2. And a domain registration for $7.49 only is SOCIALG3. So a bunch of us here have used GoDaddy and still use it to date. Very pleased with the service overall. I know I personally use it. And hopefully you can get some benefit out of the discount codes we have for you. So that's SOCIALG1, 2, or 3, 10% off, $5 on 30 or more, or a domain registration for $7.49. All the information and the links are, of course, in the show notes themselves. So, Caleb, why don't you catch everybody up, kind of just, you know, glossary. What the heck have you been up to since you've been missing in action here a little bit?
Yeah, so I had a big move. I was living in Miami, Florida, and I was talking to some friends out here on the West Coast, and was talking to people who work at Justin TV, some founders here, and started to learn more about what Justin.TV was doing and some of the cool opportunities they had, and decided to make the move and join Justin TV. And so now I'm overseeing the product teams here and working to make the process of broadcasting and viewing live video better for everyone. And so sort of been here for the past 3 months or so, and I've been heads down, getting in early, staying late, working with the teams to really make our best effort at some good changes. And tonight I actually had some time to chat. So hopefully I'll have a little bit of time and can carve out some time each week to catch up with you guys. But yeah, it's been great. San Francisco is a lot of fun. Great place to be. And everyone here at Justin TV is super smart and fun to be around. So it's been a great move. So it's been fun.
Congrats. We'd like to think we had something to do with it. So, you know,
we'll
take pieces of any bonuses that come along your way.
So, okay.
One other piece of big Microsoft news, they announced the keynote that hit the stream real quick, which was interesting, was their HP agreement that Windows 7, everything else, that Bing will now be the default search engine with MSN as the default homepage on all HP PCs that start getting sold in 42 countries around the world.
That's pretty big news. HP is the number one consumer PC maker right now. So,
well, good. Bing. Everyone's going to be saying Bing in every language you can imagine, and I think it sounds just like Bing in every one of them. So it'll be 42 countries, all the HP PCs around the world. So that's he apparently announced that also. That's one of their big things on the CES stream that they're showing on the Microsoft page, which I bookmark for everybody. They've got their own CES Press Pass event page set up for Microsoft. So other big stuff, new product stuff that's rolling out the door. Have you guys gotten your hands on either Similar or Blippi yet? Either one of you or any three of you?
Been in Similar. Wrote a blog post about it. Blippi, I don't think so.
Blippi? Yeah, where? So, Wayne, where did you put your post on Similar, and what did you say?
It's on social, Wayne. I just wrote a mini review. They sent me a press release and put some information about that. I remember it was invite only, and our longtime Social Geeks podcast Hall of Fame member, Louis Gray, has sent some information over, and it's an app. You know, I do think of about Twitter when I see it. You got the friends you can follow. You can post a message. You can post, I think, other type of links, other type of content. You can comment on it. But, you know, it's kind of targeted after topics. So find similar interests and tags, and then you have a conversation. So it connects you with people based on, you know, what you're interested in. That's sort of a similar name. And it's got an interesting layout. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, some of the other ones that have launched recently, like Yahoo Meme and old school One Pounce. So we'll see how it goes.
Where the heck is your search on your blog, Wayne?
I know, I can't find it.
It's at the very bottom.
There it is. Oh, my gosh. So everybody knows, bottom right corner for Wayne. He doesn't apparently like you to search. You just read the new stuff.
You know what? I will move it as we speak.
No, don't move it. I'm just trying to link to your article to give all of our listeners a chance to read it on Similar, and I couldn't find a place to search anywhere on your site. So now, did you try the site, or did you go with a press release? What did you do?
I tried it.
Full disclosure?
Yeah. I tried it, but I posted mostly for the press release, but I did try it a couple times, and, you know, that was it.
You don't know. So let me ask this. Do you guys, and all of us probably get them, and Jeff, you're a different victim now because of your movie thing, and I'm going to ask you in a minute. So let's jump into that, because each of us has a different way that, you know, we handle postings. Do you guys get tons of press release requests up front? Let me ask that. Don't say anything else, but do you get tons of press release blogging requests?
It's a yes. No, I don't.
No for Jeff. Wayne?
I don't get a tons, but I get a few.
A few? What about you, Caleb? Well, Caleb wasn't blogging very much.
I get a hand. I get a handful, but yeah, my blog doesn't have a ton of reach right now. I mean, I try and blog once a month. So
between, right, you're getting better. Between I Do Notes and The Social Networker, I probably get at least three a day of requests to, you know, here's a press release. Don't you want to interview somebody or talk about it? So what do you guys do to handle those? And then Jeff, I'm going to ask you about the movies in a minute, but what do you guys do to handle those?
Mine, I got a category in my email called Pitches. And I tag it.
What's it called? What's
Pitches.
It called? Oh, okay.
Pitches.
P-I-T-C-H-E-S.
I'm just asking. I just didn't sound right when you said it.
I think they're talking about the tablets now.
Oh, there goes Wayne.
That's a way to avoid it.
I can let you. Okay, Wayne, go watch tablets so you can tell us. Jeff, let's cover yours, Jeff. Movies, because you're doing the whole movie thing now, right?
Right, yes.
And are they letting you in free to these events?
Yes, I go through like an ad agency here in Kansas City.
Okay.
And they basically send me a list of screenings coming in Kansas City. I just choose which one I want to go to, and I go check it out, and then I put a review out about what I thought about the movie. That's basically the gist of it. And then they do have, you know, I get emails from them. They might have an opportunity to interview one of the actors or something if you want to do that or whatever, but basically, yeah, they just send me an email with screenings that are going on in the city.
Now, I know that. Now, what I do, and I've disclosed it recently, is if I get publishers that have a book that they're trying to get promoted or whatever they want reviewed, I will take the copy of the book, read it, and report on it. And I state that on there that, you know, the publisher will send a copy and say review it, but I also tear them up if it's terrible. You know, I don't have any problem saying good or bad about them at all, but I was curious how you guys were handling it, because similar is a good example that Wayne got. You know, here, please look at the site, we'll let you in, here's the beta. But then sometimes they want you to look at the beta and not really say anything about it, or can you just, you know, give an overview of the site and not really tear it apart? So I was curious, Caleb, you started blogging more, what are you doing about them?
Well, actually, I was on the other end of that a while ago with Tulu, right? So,
right.
You know,
we didn't talk about Tulu.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't really send out press releases per se, and I think that's probably if I get press releases, that's a bad sign. I prefer to just get like a simple paragraph of like, hey, I'm working on this thing and thought you might like it because you deal with RSS and news and would love your feedback, and if you want to write about it, that'd be cool too, right? Like, I think that's the best way. If you have a new service and you want to reach out to someone like Wayne or Chris or whatever, that's a great way, because it shows that you actually pay attention to what person does, and you're not trying to make it seem like you're, you know, reinventing the world. You just have something cool you want them to check out.
Right now, go ahead.
Yeah, and if I get those, you know, I'll go to the service, sign up, play with it, and if I think it's kind of cool, I'll probably tweet about it. And if it's really cool, I might think about writing a blog post. But I haven't done that yet. I mean, most of them is just kind of interesting. I might pass it along, but nothing because I'm not really writing my blog to release tech news. I don't think I feel that pressure as much as you guys might.
No, I really don't have the pressure. If it's alpha, like really, really early, you know, come in and just give us UI feedback, I won't say anything about it. If it's beta stages and a lot of people are in, and mainly if you're letting, you know, Read Write Web talk about it or TechCrunch or somebody else, and you won't let me do a screencast or actually talk about it, I usually brush it off. Well, yeah, it's, and I brush it off, honestly. Now, if you let me screencast, I'll do good and bad. I did that with Nomi. I did that with Orciso and a bunch of them. And Nomi came back and said, thank you for the input on the UI. Here's what we've changed. You know, take a look again and work. And they were excited about it, even though I pointed out some things that I was like, as a user, I wouldn't, you know, this didn't make sense. Those are the kind of ones I like working with.
Well, that's what a beta is all about, right? Like, it shouldn't be perfect. And you want feedback. And if you really don't want feedback, don't call it a beta, because you should be released publicly or not be talking about it. So,
right. And they hate that. But, you know, then you see Rewrite Web or TechCrunch post and I go, well, you know, you let them talk all about it or they're too big that you can't stop them. You know, once it's out there, it's too late.
Exactly. I think, TechCrunch has been known to release things a little bit earlier than people were hoping, I think.
Well, from my understanding, is
Wayne.
I'm multitasking my ears right now. But from my understanding is that TechCrunch, you know, their policy is that they do not, participate in embargoes. If you send it, they will publish it. They say, you send it to us, we can publish it right now. But with that in mind, everybody knows that Arrington blogged about it. They post about something about that today to where, you know, they don't really, you know, honor embargoes. So with that being said, if I'm somebody looking for attention and want, you know, from the industry, why am I sending stuff to them knowing that they break embargoes or they don't honor embargoes? But yet everybody wants their eyeballs. Everybody wants their traffic.
They have a million RSS subscribers.
Exactly.
Yeah, but someone just made a good point on that today I read. You know, you got a million subscribers. How many people are actually still actively reading? Anybody that's in FriendFeed that counts as another subscriber if you use FriendFeed subscriptions through them. Mm-hmm. And while the number's still huge, don't get me wrong, it's how many people are daily actively reading every one of those. It's a hit or miss. And you guys are the same way. We consume hundreds and hundreds of feeds. And you just click through as fast as you can. I've been living in Feedly a lot more just due to the UI, and either I can do it in a digest or whatever. It's Google Reader with a pretty front end. You don't consume everything. You look at the headline. If it doesn't grab you, it's gone.
Yep. And I think it's not necessarily about getting that one press hit anymore. No one company or one post on TechCrunch is going to make you the next Google. It's consistently building a product that people want to use and people want to write about because it's actually worth sharing. And if you build something like that, over time, people will write about it and continue to write about it because it's cool and you continue to add new interesting stuff. I mean, getting on TechCrunch once is not going to make you the hottest startup in the valley or wherever you are.
True. Well, that's true. It won't keep you there at all, you know. And with the 50, that's coming up again in September this year. So for all those newcomers, they're already setting up the dates for the TechCrunch 50, right? So.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool event. And they've got the Crunchies coming up this Friday, which is the startup show, which is basically the awards show, which is a little bit funny, but I think I'm going anyways.
Well, one thing, and we're getting tight to the end because I want to make sure we stayed on time, but we stayed away from predictions for this year just because every other show's doing it. We don't care. We talk about the current stuff. Any other hot topics from any of you before we go? We had a short list today.
I'll talk about something new I'm working on as a little side project.
Of course. Caleb always has a side project.
There's always something new, and this one I'm really excited about because it's so – this one is really close to my heart in terms of the, you know, work I've done with Tulu, which is the RSS discovery engine. And, you know, one of the things we found and monitoring people's behavior and even my own behavior with it was, you know, you join, you add a whole bunch of new feeds. It's cool. You find out what other people are reading, but then you don't really use it that much more because you feel like you've found all the great feeds.
Right.
And so what I really wanted to build was something that helped me deal with all that tech news. And, I still don't feel like there's a really good place for me to go, you know, a couple times a day to catch up on the best tech news. You know, TechMeme is out there, Dig is out there, Hacker News is out there, but I still felt like there was something else missing. And so took a lot of the technology we were building with Tulu and some of the really cool data and algorithms we had and building something new. It's called KickPost, KickPost.com. And we have a little splash page up there now, but it's basically going to be a new way to discover news in real time, and it's going to be an aggregator. I sort of see the news aggregation space a lot like sort of the search engines around Lycos and AltaVista. People thought search was solved, and then Google came along. Now, I do not proclaim to be nearly as impactful as Google. However, I think people have sort of moved on from aggregation, but I think there's still a lot of room for improvement there. So that's what we're working on with that.
And if you see like emails like Chris, you know, like Social Networker, maybe Wayne, Social Wayne, if you see ones like that when you get the beta, that might be people you know. Just
like, oh, okay. That might be that's interesting.
Yeah, like just signed up.
Right. If you see Jeff, Jeff's a geek. You know, you might know some of these people, just letting you know.
Okay.
How long is your life? How long?
I think it'll be under a month.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm about to tweet this.
We've been working on it for about 6 months, so.
Oh, Wayne's gonna take the site down. If you're running it on your home machine right now.
I don't have Twitter juice like that.
You got 28,000. But see, now he might be running on the same connection we're talking on right now. So don't take him out.
Oh, no. This is running on the production servers that Tulu has, which is pretty powerful. We've got about 12 gigs of RAM on that machine.
Only joking. You know, you could have been sitting in the corner of your home office.
I know. In my little, put on my Nexus One. Running the SSH on there.
So. Right. Exactly.
Put a patch on Nexus One. There are people who do that. It's kind of funny.
All right, so we'll kick post.
But yeah, so I'm excited for that. And once it releases out, we'll get some feedback from you guys and excited to see how that goes. You know, I'm really just trying to build something that I want to read every day. And I still don't feel like there's really that perfect source out there. So
well, we're working. I agree with you. And I wish you much success with kick post. And I was looking because I remember TechFuga was out for a while and then it died.
And TechFuga was actually what was weird about that. It didn't do anything. It was just a list of like the top 10 from like 20 blogs. Like there wasn't that much technology behind it. I really don't think so. Mm-hmm. We're gonna present. Still working on it. I don't want to say too much yet.
Right. Yeah. Say that from now, Wayne. You've got one because you did a big swap-a-roo for a bunch of people. You started working with Twine, right?
Yeah. I'm with a new interactive agency downtown Raleigh, North Carolina, called Twine Interactive. It's an interesting, you know, web shop. They were traditionally a application development. They did some online marketing and also, of course, those online branding, building websites. And about May of 2009, they switched and they're trying to change up their strategy, so to speak, and they continue to build an application, but they also want to enter the social space. And they had a great location, a great team, and we had a couple of meetings, and I thought it was a good fit. Did a lot of traveling in 2009, so try to slow down a little bit. And so, Jonah.
Aren't you in another city next week?
Yeah. But Social Fresh, Nashville, January the 11th.
Yep.
And I thought it was a good fit. And so a great team. Plus now working with some programmers, some other, you know, developers. And, you know, so we're going after the market and having a good time so far. But I'm also excited about a location-based project that I'm a partner of here in the Triangle as well.
Here we go.
Called Tryout. And it is a community location-based iPhone app. And it's going to have some a web application to it as well. And it's in invitation mode only. There's an app in the App Store. You can download it, but only works in North Carolina.
What is it called?
Tryout. TRIOUT.
.com?
The URL is we're trying to get tryout.com, but somebody has that. Our URL right now is TRIOUT.com.
And that is running at Wayne's house, so we'll take that down. Right
yeah,
now.
That was your. That was shut. You was shut. We're good to go.
So it's nice. Only location services for only the Triangle.
Right. Once you have to be authenticated in North Carolina first. And then if you're a user, then if you travel outside of North Carolina, you can check in like you do Gowalla, like you do Foursquare, Brightkite, and World. You can use it just like those apps. But to first originally create your account, you must be here in North Carolina.
Look at all the little people's faces on the map. 1,188 user submitted locations, and if I click them, 1,100 are Wayne.
No, maybe Bob. But you know, we got a leaderboard, as you can see in the location visit, and we got right now we got 100 beta users, and we got about 200, you know, waiting to, you know, to be accepted, and we're gonna have a site in 2010.
All right, location based. You going head to head? You know, you're doing the local thing. So Jeff, what about you? I know you're doing. We talked about the movies while Wayne was looking at tablets.
Yeah, I'm just a geek.
Okay, just a geek. No, but you are. I will say you are cranking out still the content and also the reviews and it's. Yeah, you've been spending a lot of time doing those. I've noticed. So it's been a major part of your day.
Yeah, yeah, and I also actually was our social media group here in Kansas City, the Social Media Club. I was elected in as the tech chairman. So I've been working on we're putting a new site out there and everything. So I've kind of been busy working on that too.
That's the major stuff. I'm down in Florida in 2 weeks, the biggest Lotus conference there is. I started with two sessions and Birds of a Feather. I'm up to like four or something. So I don't know. It's going to be ridiculous. Crazy week. Thousands and thousands of people attend, and that's in 2 weeks. I'll be down there. Kickpost says, thanks for subscribing. I got my Caleb. It must have been reading server stuff, but it says you don't have an account yet. So, okay. it just says, thanks for subscribing. Basically, we got your email. Otherwise, Social Geeks in 2010, we are, like I said, we're going to go every 2 weeks. Have a different bunch of people on, whoever's available. We're going to roll. Lewis tonight actually wanted to be here, but got stuck with some other obligations early. We know that Corvita is actually flying to CES as we speak. Sarah is, of course, at home with the new little geek. Definitely, if everyone hasn't seen that, the new geek has been arrived a short time ago, and she's worn out. And otherwise, it's congratulations again to Sarah if she listens in later. She said she tries to listen, so that's good. Nice. Anything else, big guys, before we get out of here?
No. Nope.
Happy New Year. Yeah. Have a great 2010. It's been the first full week of 2010, and there has been tons of announcement, tons of rumors, tons of gossip, tons of controversy already, and the Social Geeks is here to cover it all.
And you know what? We're going to cover it raw, because just like tonight, the real stuff, and we don't care what they say. If they embargo us for years, that's fine. But we're going to talk about them just the same. That's another Social Geeks.